Hi and welcome back. This is episode number 271. Today I'm talking to Vince Dixon. He is the founder and sales director of Zigzag Offshoring. We speak about Zigzag, of course, his facilities, and how he differentiates his offering within the marketplace. It's a really good conversation. There's a lot of nuggets of information and valuable learnings there for anyone, whether you're considering outsourcing or already outsourcing. I enjoyed my conversation and hope you will enjoy it also. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/271. This podcast is brought to you by Payoneer, the leading global B2B payment solution for the outsourcing industry. If you're a BPO or freelancer or have outsourced staffing, then Payoneer makes sending and receiving international payments super simple, quick, secure, and of course, low cost. They have some fantastic features which have been designed specifically for the needs of this industry. You can easily manage payments between your clients, staff and suppliers across multiple currencies and international bank accounts. Payoneer help make outsourcing easy, so consider them now. And if your BPO, clients or suppliers aren't already using Payoneer, then ask them why not. For a limited time, Payoneer is offering a $50 bonus if you sign up now. So go to register.payoneer.com/OA or go to our website and we will have links there.
Zigzag Connect is a mid-tier BPO in the Philippines. We differentiate ourselves in the stance that we actually started as a client rather than as set out to be a BPO. And from some of our misfortunes as a client, we then went down the path of setting up our own BPO for some of our business friends in Australia. And then basically we've grown almost organically from there over the past years.
Yeah, it happens quite a lot, doesn't it? And certainly with the Australian market, I think there's a lot of entrepreneurs hearing about the Philippines, hitting the Philippines, and then wanting to make a better mousetrap and do it better themselves. What was it in particular? Well, can you tell us a bit about your journey? Obviously, Zigzag had its own origin story, but what brought you to the Philippines yourself the first time?
We actually came here with a telemarketing business that I had. And so we were telemarketing actively out of here, and we were utilizing the services of a quasi-BPO, so to speak. And the Do Not Call register basically closed that business down. So we were left with some quality staff, and we then started up our own business here, which then basically organically morphed into the Zigzag now, Zigzag Offshoring. And we've taken it to the point where, we've continued to grow mainly by word of mouth, done very, very little marketing to this point. Primarily because we didn't have the space to fill. So now we've taken on extra space and we've got about 1,000 square meters to fill. So we can actively go out and search for new clients.
Wow, fantastic. And you started with telemarketing and we know each other and I know that you're a successful entrepreneur in sort of many industries. And, the offshoring is just another feather in your cap. Where do you find your sweet spot with the outsourcing offshoring industry? And where do you find that Zigzag fits in terms of the ideal client mix?
Yeah, look, we have a number of clients that range across a lot of markets. We don't niche our offerings. We do tend to have become quite active in the developer space, in the IT space, with having over 200 staff in that space now. We work with our clients to try and find exactly what it is that will best benefit them in the offshoring journey. Because, some clients come here with the idea of having some developers in the Philippines assisting their team in Australia or the US or the UK or New Zealand. And then once they've been here and they see that there's, the quality of personnel that's available in the bookkeeping roles or that as a personal assistant or for data entry. So once they actually come here, it opens the client's eyes to what is actually available in the Philippines and the quality of personnel that's available. So we try not to niche ourselves. What we try to do is basically work with the client and say, we will source the best people for the positions that you have available.
Yeah, There's always so much role creep, isn't there? People typically come over here and they start with sort of lowly, non-core back office jobs because they don't really think there's, you know, such capacity over here. Then they see the capacity, and then they kind of get the drift that they can do virtually any role here. And it's an incredible journey for clients, isn't it? Often.
Oh, without a doubt, the number of clients that we've had over that have started with, you know, 4, 5, 6 seats, and you know, now some exceed 20, some exceed 30, and one exceeds 40 from very small beginnings, and they've just continued to grow and continue to put more faith in their Philippine team. And, you know, it's also their engagement with that team, because it's not a one-way street. It's not you just send work here and it happens. It's the more you engage, the more you train, the more you bring your people through the ranks, that they get a better understanding of the business. And, you know, it's just, you know, if you're an office in Los Angeles, it's just like having an office in New York. It's like not that much different at all. You have to train them, you have to embrace them, you have to engage with them. And we support and encourage our clients to do that, because it makes that the Philippine team is so much easier to work with.
Mm. There is always this acceptance curve, the learning curve, the comfort curve that people go through. You know, there's a lot of sort of opacity, there's a lot of distrust when people start offshoring. You know, and again, as you say, it really is just like opening up an office in New York if you're based in LA. So I think a lot of this is really just uncertainty within in clients' own heads. But how do you get people over the line? What do you typically see the journey as, and how do you sort of build that comfort and that early success so that build that confidence?
Yeah, look, the most difficult part for any client is the first 3 months. It's then learning about the systems and the communication between the team in the home office and the team in the Philippines. It's also getting the people in the home office used to dealing with people offshore if they've never done it before. It's also making sure that the people in the home team, you know, have enough trust and faith that, one, the Philippine team can do their job, and then when they understand exactly the quality of the staff, that the people in the home office, you know, don't feel threatened by them, because that's also another barrier that you sometimes find, is that there tend to be some roadblocks put up in the home office because they actually see these people as a threat. So there's a number of processes in the journey, and the first 3 months are essential. And we work very closely with our clients to ensure that in that first 3 months, we give them every assistance with not only recruiting the right people, but also offering systems, suggestions, trying to encourage the training within the Philippine office on a person-to-person basis, so trying to get the client to visit the Philippines to do that training. But there's a lot of things we do in the first 3 months to try and encourage and make sure that the journey works well.
Yeah, and the beginning of that journey, as you mentioned, is the recruitment process. And I suppose if we just take a step back, there's a whole heap of different outsourcing models, offshoring models. There's everything from Upwork, freelancer, online jobs.ph, people working from home. Then there's the, you know, fully old school kind of BPO processes. And then can you explain the model? Where do you sit in the middle there? And, you know, is this sort of part-time jobs? Is it project work, or is it allocated staffing?
Zigzag is basically full-time work. We tend to our staff work 100% for one client, and we recruit them to be a full-time team member, whether that is a virtual assistant, whether that is a Guidewire developer, whether that is a electrical engineer working on plans. So the range of roles is right across the board, and what we tend to do is try and fill full-time roles for clients in other countries that will assist them with the growth of their business.
Absolutely. And then, so a critical part of that is once the client is engaged, they go through the recruitment process. And I think there's a bit of ambiguity there sometimes, isn't there, in that they think you might just have 1,000 people sitting on the bench waiting for these roles. But really then you launch and you're in the recruitment phase, which is, you know, a very specialized function in its own right, yeah?
Yes, certainly, and that's right. We can't afford to have, you know, if you want two full stack developers, we can't afford just to have them sitting around waiting for jobs for you to start tomorrow. So what we do is we do have a We run a CRM of people that have applied for jobs previously. So we do have a database of previous applicants that we reach out to in that field. We also then run marketing campaigns actively on the job portals here in the Philippines. And then on top of that, we have recruitment partners that we work with to try and source those jobs. So, you know, we leave no stone unturned to try and find the best applicant to suit your jobs. And you know, the pricing on that is that basically the better the job description, the better the opportunity of finding the person that's going to really fit what you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is no mean feat to do the recruitment. Yeah, I mean, I imagine you've recruited thousands of people over the years.
Yeah, over the journey, we probably recruited around a thousand people. We try not to turn our people over too much, because it's one of those processes where if you find good people and you reward them, they stick with you. And we're very proud of our small churn every year of staff. But you know, we have our own in-house recruitment team that works very hard. And the fact that we have, from a very early stage, developed our own database of applicants, it certainly left us with a healthy way of reaching out to clients potential employees for our clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And now we have actually been around your new facilities, and actually there's a video tour online that I encourage everyone to have a look around. You know, these are not sweatshops. These are incredible facilities. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what people can expect from world-class facilities?
Oh, look, in a market like Manila, you want to provide a workplace that your staff will be happy in. So, you know, our staff work in an environment where we provide a 200 square meter pantry, so that there's a full kitchen there that provides low cost meals every day, so they don't have to go looking for food. We have a games room. We have billiard tables, pool tables, foosball, computer games, and anything that you can imagine to try and make the team relax. We have breakout areas. You know, sometimes you'll walk in at lunchtime in one of the breakout areas and the teams are playing guitars and, you know, just chilling out. We try and provide our staff with an environment that not all will probably get at home. So a lot of times we would have staff members turn up an hour early in the morning so they can play billiards against each other, because they may not have a billiard table at home, or it's unlikely that they'll have a billiard table at home. And they enjoy these facilities. And it's just part of offering an environment where you want people to come to work and enjoy being at work. So that's just part of what we try and do to ensure that our clients, the team that works for our clients, have a great experience in the office.
Yeah, and it's so core to Filipino workforce, isn't it, to have a strong community in the workplace and to be in a comfortable and efficient environment.
Yeah, not only in the workplace, we actually encourage our teams to give back to the community. Just recently, our people and culture team put together an outreach program to underprivileged children, where they put together some fundraising through some events we did, and went out with books and notepads and pencils. And we have a monthly purpose that we deal with a number of charities and local community engagements that we try and do to make sure that not only as a company but as our team, they're involved in this giving back. So, you know, we'll do we did Jollibee meals to underprivileged kids in a socioeconomically challenged area the month previously. So all of these engagements with the communities just builds a really good team spirit. Now those teams are not only Zigzag's own staff, but we invite the staff and the team members from our clients to come and get involved in those, and that just really builds camaraderie.
And can you explain that? You know, I refer to it a little bit as co-parenting. How do you see the relationship between obviously the client's staff, who are fully dedicated to the client, managed typically day to day by the client, but then obviously they're officially employed by Zigzag and they come to the environment of Zigzag? How do you see those two relationships cohabitating?
It's pretty straightforward. We basically are the legal employer. So Zigzag is the legal employer of the staff, and the team members of the client work 100% for the client. So the day-to-day instructions, the day-to-day business is 100% for that client. And we break it down in two terms. We call them Zigzag staff, and we call them the client's team member. And it's just a strategy that we put in place a few years ago, so that it's, you know, that everybody understands that, you know, we're the ones paying the tax, we're the ones dealing with the BIR, we're the ones that are putting in place the HMO or the healthcare, but the client is the one, and it's their team that they're working to on a day-to-day basis to ensure that, you know, they have their tasks in place, they do their stand-ups, that the KPIs are met, and that they know what their jobs are. So we just manage the behind the scenes, and the clients actually have the team members process all of the work.
Yeah, I refer to it a little bit like we work on steroids. It's kind of like the facilities, but then obviously everything on top, the HRIS, the legals,
the IT support, everything, yes.
Absolutely. And so where do you see the different cultures intermingling? Obviously, you're Australian, but, you know, it's a big wide world out there, all now realizing the value of Philippine talent. Where does Zigzag sit in terms of that, the client pool?
Oh, we have clients from six or seven countries, New Zealand, Australia, Japan, Singapore, UK, US, that's just off the top of my head. And, you know, we encourage our clients to visit and sit and work and train with their teams as much as often. So we will quite regularly, normally at least once a week, do an afternoon catch-up, so about 4 or 5 o'clock in an afternoon. Any of the visiting clients that are in town, we'll pencil in a date, and we just basically go and have a beer and a coffee and some snacks, and just basically talk about the challenges and the opportunities that face everybody from different countries in offshoring. And it's amazing the conversations and the industries that cross-pollinate when you sit down over a relaxing period of time and you know, for a couple of hours, and good friendships are made, and relationships are built, and business is done from places you've never even thought of.
Mm. And how would you, so people that are inquiring, so, you know, this is fairly, Zigzag is relatively role and specialty agnostic, it's relatively industry agnostic, but where are some really good roles, some really good kind of quick wins that you see clients often, you know, benefiting from? This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
It depends on who the client is. Like we have clients who will come to us and they want data entry roles, or they want accounting roles, or bookkeeping roles. They're, you know, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of those staff, and good quality staff, first language English, you know, looking for jobs today. So they're easy to fill. When you get to the more technical roles, your full stack developers, or at the moment Shopify devs are you know, very much in demand. So when we're searching for those roles, they're a little more challenging, but you know, we can find them. And then if we can't find them because it's a new platform or something like that, we actually look at ways to try to train people into those roles. So there's a lot of sweet spots out there. There's no role that I don't think we won't be able to fill, but certainly the low-hanging fruit is anything that's a repetitive task that can be done quickly and easily outside of the office.
And do you see, you know, as we mentioned, the role creep previously, I see a lot of examples of, you know, people start with a couple of back-end people and then eventually they're running the entire operation from the Philippines almost. Have you seen examples of that with your clients?
Certainly, yeah. We've seen clients that have, we have one client that basically now refers to his office in the Philippines as onshoring and not offshoring, because he said, I have more staff in the Philippines than I have anywhere else in the world. Mm. And that's just how that business has grown. And the business has grown dramatically. You know, they've now got, you know, 50 or 60 staff with us, but it's that process of once people actually come here, engage, learn the skill sets that are available, you will continue to see that you'll find more opportunities to grow your business without, you know, busting the bottom line.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And in terms of cost structures, how do you position yourself in the market?
Look, we're not the most expensive in the market, and we're certainly not a sweatshop. So, you know, we're in the mid-range. For a seat lease, which is basically a desk, two screens, computer, IT help, IT support, everything along those lines, we're $575 US a month. And on top of that is the staff's wages and any government charges and health insurance. So that's about, you know, probably a little bit above the middle of the pack, but our facilities and our services and our customer support, you know, I'm very proud of those. So I'm happy to say that I think we're great value for money.
Yeah. And it's the purest model, isn't it? Where, you know, people are paying for your services, they know exactly what they're getting for that. And then there's full transparency in terms of the staff, the role, salaries, all of their, you know, health and benefits and government contributions on top.
Oh, 100%. And that's what we, when we very first came to the Philippines, sort of got a little bit upset about, because we thought we were paying the staff, you know, pick a number, we thought we were paying the staff 30,000 pesos a month, where in fact the staff were getting paid 20,000 pesos a month. So, you know, we don't clip the ticket on the staff's wages at all. It's purely and simply, you know, everything, this is our seat lease, this is what we charge you for our services, and everything above that is basically done at a cost base. It works pretty well because clients like the transparency.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And as well, then it closes the loop between the supplier, the BPO, the client, the staff, and, you know, there's just sort of openness and honesty with it, with the whole loop then, yeah?
Well, it enables the staff member to have an open conversation about their salary, because, you know, they can say, look, I've been with you for 2 years and I know I do a good job. Please can I have a pay rise? And there's no ambiguity about what they actually get paid. That we as the BPO and the client know exactly the same situation, and then it's just a conversation about whether their quality of work warrants a pay rise and whether the client's willing to pay a pay rise. So it's an open conversation rather than smoke and mirrors, which is a pain in the bum.
Absolutely. So you've seen a lot of growth over the last, you know, sort of 5 years of the market. I think Australia is now becoming a very mature market. There's a huge amount of awareness in terms of outsourcing over there. How do you see the growth of the industry in terms of the small and medium-sized businesses in the West and their awareness of the opportunities of outsourcing?
I think the growth will continue to come, will continue to come full steam ahead. I think we're still in the, we're not in the early phases, but we're certainly in the early to mid phases of being a global business world. And so, you know, the idea of, you know, 20 years ago, the idea of having, you know, your accounts done in the Philippines or, you know, full stack devs building you platforms in the Philippines was probably sneezed at. Whereas now, you know, some of the largest companies in Australia, the Telstras of the world, the Westpacs of the world, the American Expresses of the world, the you know, TV stations have got their traffic companies here, departments here now. So some of these really, really big platforms, they're all here. So what we offer at Zigzag is the ability for, you know, small to medium enterprises to have the same benefits that the big companies do, and save money on costs across the board. So as more and more business people learn about it, more and more people are inquiring about it. Sometimes it takes it's a big, bold step, and I have a number of businesses in Australia, so I understand that it is a big step, but it just is one of those steps that, you know, you need to go into it with your eyes open, do your homework, make sure you understand what you're getting, and then, you know, when you employ your first staff member, make sure you employ somebody who's a star.
Yeah. It is crazy, isn't it? I mean, the offshoring industry in the Philippines has been going 25 years, and it's all of the Fortune, whatever, 500s, Fortune 1000s, all of the enterprises that have been here two decades. And now I think with, you know, the advent of globalization and technology and sort of the internet connecting everyone, it's now available to the SMEs, but it's really just getting them aware of it, getting them educated, getting them comfortable, and so that they can now be on the same sort of playing field as these enterprises.
Yeah, look, 100%. The big end of town has had access to this for years and years, and they run it very well, and they've got some very slick organizations that do it, and they tend to partner with the really big BPOs that are global entities that have got, you know, 200, 300, 400,000 staff. So, you know, in the SME market, you know, there's opportunities out of the US, out of Australia, New Zealand, you know, multiple markets to you know, explore the opportunity of these savings for roles that you know, are not core business, but are certainly roles that are repetitive and roles that need to be done, and you can save a lot of money on your bottom line whilst at the same time employing quality, loyal staff. Because one of the biggest problems that I found in Australia, particularly in the marketing and in the web development and IT sector, is that generation, you know, believe that 2 years is a career. So the turnover of staff in positions is astronomical in that demographic, and it just becomes very frustrating as an employer that, you know, you really just start to get the value out of somebody, and they're moving on to a bigger company. And so that's where, you know, the Philippines, you get a lot of loyalty with your staff if you treat them and pay them well.
Yeah, and, you know, people, there's endless conversations about complexities of offshoring and managing Filipino teams, but managing people and building an organization is a highly complex system, isn't it? You know, with so many variables, and you speak there of the millennials in the West. They're sort of moving around. They're wanting to transition all the time. It's just about sort of understanding the nuances of each individual market and then playing that to your advantage. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, it is. Look, I employ a number of millennials in Australia, and you know, It's a great experience, and you know, my daughter's smack bang in the middle of that range, so I can't talk too much about them. But it is a fact that you know, a couple of years in a position, and they start to get itchy feet, and the, you know, a number of people who own businesses reflect on how frustrating that is, because you know, you really get to the stage when they're a valuable employee and they're really contributing to the company, and you have to start again. So it's a little bit of a catch-22 is you put a lot of effort into training them, and then bang, it's all disappeared, and you have to move on to the next one. So that's where there's opportunities where you can have a little bit more loyalty and certainly a really qualified person do a similar role based out of the Philippines.
And it is, you know, another dynamic with the Philippines is it's less lumpy. So if you are a small business and you need to hire people, it's less of a risk to hire that next person or to test a new business unit, because it's incrementally less. But then that also allows you to take protection in terms of having double ups on staffing and having understudies and things like that, isn't it? And so it can generally sort of fortify your business model.
Correct. Particularly once you get to a certain scale and you get to a certain size, you have this ability to basically have almost the succession plan in place, because you'll have a team of developers, or you'll have a team running the accounts department, so that, you know, it's not all reliant on one person. You've got the backup there if you need be, and if somebody does leave, the next person's, you know, very keen to try and get a progression in their growth and happy to step into the place. So, you know, it's certainly a place where, you know, you can build teams and grow people's careers within those teams.
And in terms of the slowdown in the sector, there's a big narrative in the Philippines at the moment that things are plateauing, that AI and automation can take all of this away. Are you seeing that on the coalface?
No, not at all. I think AI has its place, and I think AI will eventually get smarter and better and cleverer. But yeah, there's a lot of people that, you know, you can pretty quickly identify when you're talking to a computer or getting automated answers back on a chatbot. So a lot of people can deal with that if it's a basic question like, you know, what's the postcode for, ride in Sydney? That's fine. You can deal with an automated answer. But a lot of times when it's a complex issue, you still need that human interaction. So, look, AI will come, machine learning will come, it will become more and more prevalent in our industries, and it will offer opportunities as well as threats. But at the moment, there's so much untapped potential in the big markets, in the big Western markets to offshore, that we haven't seen a slowdown at all. Our sales funnel leading into 2020 is really, really strong.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? I'm personally trying to change the narrative of the country, and I think there's a big blind spot here, because they don't see the small and medium-sized businesses in the West that are all going to sort of click onto this outsourcing and sort of build their companies with it. It's a huge growth.
I think that narrative is probably based a little bit around, again, your Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 companies that, you know, are probably looking more deeply into automation and to artificial intelligence. And I think that, you know, if they're going to be, they're projecting in the next 2 to 3 years, there'll be a slowdown because they are able to utilize more of that, which possibly they will be. But that's, you know, at that end of town, it's the SMEs that's still, you know, it's a very expensive process to put that in place. So, I think the SMEs can still benefit greatly out of offshoring.
Yeah, and SMEs, they're fundamentally, I mean, everyone with a small business, it's agile, it evolves, you know, one quarter is completely different to the next. And that just can't be optimized, can it? You know, people have got to be agile. And that's why as well, the SME type outsourcing, you're really dealing with high skilled, high quality staffing. They're not just 500 people in a room doing the same repetitive task. People in this offshore model, they're highly skilled, highly independent professionals that are working shoulder to shoulder with the clients.
Oh, look, I've got a Google AdWords pay-per-click professional who works for a US company, and, you know, she manages campaigns that are 30, 40, 50,000 US a day. Wow. For their pay-per-click. So, you know, you don't have people that don't have skill sets, and she's been doing that for well over a year, and multiple campaigns, running the entire campaigns, placing the ads, doing all the management of it, then writing the reports at the end of the month. And so, you know, you've got massive opportunities in social media, Facebook, everything through to doing your blog posts, to LinkedIn, Google AdWords, Google My Business. Everything that's there is the opportunities for these social media experts in the Philippines are enormous. And this is just a whole range of products that are available. So, yeah, look, I just think the future's bright.
Exciting times. So if there's someone over there in the West, wherever, and, you know, they've got 5 staff or 50 staff and they want to give this a go, you know, how do you recommend they dip their toe in the water? How do they come and talk to you? Should they fly over? What is generally the process for someone that wants to learn more?
Yeah, it's sort of like going on a first date, I guess. It's just contact us at Zigzag, and what we'll do is we'll sit down, we'll have a conversation. We'll learn a little bit about them. They'll learn a little bit about us. We're very much that, you know, we're not interested in any sweatshop sort of style of business. It's, we want quality people to do quality work. We mean that, you know, the Philippine team has to be embraced as part of our clients team. And that's really important for our culture, because that spreads right across the business. Once we think that we're all a good fit for each other, we then sit down and start talking about, you know, what the team looks like, what roles they want to do, put together some job descriptions. We start to look at resumes. We start to look at possible candidates. And then we just roll out the process of employing the first couple of staff members and getting things started.
Super exciting. And it's just getting people over that line, isn't it? And then it can absolutely transform a business.
Ah, that's the truth. It's a case of, once you see it, once you experience it, you know, you'll go, I'm not sure why I wasn't doing this 5 years ago.
Mm. And then you realize how many people have been doing it for the last 5 years. It's crazy.
Oh yeah. And you also, that's the thing, whenever a client comes over for the very first time and they come to our meetups on a Wednesday afternoon, or we do a tour of the office and we go, oh, look, yeah, that person's doing Google AdWords. Yeah, that one's doing graphic design. That one's doing building websites. That one's, that's an electrical engineer doing plans for a building. You know, they sit there and they go, oh, wow, I didn't realize you could do that. And it's just like, you can almost see the fireworks going off in their head saying opportunity, opportunity, opportunity.
Yeah, super exciting, super. Fantastic. So thank you, Vincent. Of course, you have some spare space. You've just expanded your facilities. You're ready to go in the new year. If people do want to test the water, if they want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
They can basically just contact us at grow, at zigzagoffshoring.com. And we'll respond to them. And there's probably a 95% chance that I'll respond to them. We'll get to have a conversation.
Okay, that was Vince Dixon of Zigzag Offshoring. If you want to get in touch with Vince or know any more about the episode, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/271. And as always, if you want to send us an email, just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.